welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest in world news and health research. Got a lot of interesting articles to go over with you guys today, so I hope you're ready for it. It's going to be a pretty wild show today. How are you doing today, Dad? I know you got some interesting stuff, too, you pulled up.
Well, to give you my chemtrail update from Central Florida, again, they've sprayed us like crazy today. It's unbelievably hot here again. So either it's going to rain again today or it's not. Right now, we don't have a whole lot of clouds forming at 3 in the afternoon. There should already be a lot of clouds forming up around outside. So I don't know if they're harping us today or not. So, you know, we'll let you guys know if we have any more monsoons down here. I got a great story. This is interesting. This is from What Doctors Don't Tell You. It's about painkillers. And, you know, we've done a whole article on these on the website, and I also wrote a whole chapter on these in my latest book, Breakthrough Health. And there, an article just appeared this today in the What Doctors Don't Tell You, and it says, people taking the over-the-counter painkillers, such as ibuprofen, Naxoprin, and prescription-only remedies such as Celecubix and diclofenac, you know, are finding out that they're having a much higher risk of heart attacks, which I find interesting, Austin, because, you know, with your pericarditis, they said they wanted you to take ibuprofen for a few days. But it says that people taking the over-counter painkiller for even a few days are massively increasing the risks of heart attack and stroke, especially for your older folks. And they need to think twice before taking this medication at all. American drug regulator, the Food and Drug Administration, has warned in a new stronger alert. The agency issued its first alert about painkillers and heart problems back in 2005. But its expert panel has since come up with new information that has triggered a stronger warning. These common painkillers, again, are known as NASIDs, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, which include, again, over-the-counter drugs such as ibuprofen and naproxen. I mean, wow. I mean, think about it. All of these drugs we take for pills, you know, for pain, now we're finding out they're causing heart attacks and strokes. So what do you think about that, Oz?
Oh, yeah. We've talked about it before. There's no question about it. This stuff has different side effects to it. Everybody thinks, you know, just, well, pop a painkiller for this, I'll pop a painkiller for that. Unless you got a really specific reason that you need to be taking this stuff, you really don't need to be using it on a regular or even semi-regular basis unless it's an absolute emergency where you're trying to get inflammation down. That's why I did have to use the ibuprofen a little bit after the pericarditis, and primarily because of its really strong anti-inflammatory properties. And so for something like that, and you need it, absolutely. If you're just taking it because, you know, your elbow has an ache in it or your knee hurts that day, guys, there's a lot of other good supplements. That's why we even put together that joint relief formula, proprietary joint relief formula years ago, because it acts as a really good natural herbal anti-inflammatory painkiller that's completely natural and safe and does really good for joints and stuff like that, aches and pains if you need it, and works pretty effectively. And I'm not going to say it works as great as, you know, taking ibuprofen, but it works pretty close, and it absolutely, from what I've seen over the years, doesn't have any side effects at all, and is much, much healthier for you.
That's right. Also, I've told you guys many times, if you're going to take vitamin D3, be careful with your levels, and you need to always take vitamin K2, because now they're finding out that K2 is a deficiency is a significant cause of cardiovascular disease, which we've talked about earlier. Significant risk factor in the development of cardiovascular disease is calcium buildup in your arterial system. Plaque formation on the walls of your arteries may lead to small pieces breaking off, causing clot formation. This is one of the more common reasons for a heart attack or stroke. Calcification of these plaque formations occurs as atherosclerotic disease progresses, which may predict your risk for future cardiovascular events. A meta-analysis of 30 studies, including over 218,000 participants, found calcification in the arteries was associated with 300 to 400% increase in cardiovascular events, such as a heart attack or stroke. Vitamin 2 regulates arterial calcification through protein modulation. In one study, those who had the highest amounts of K2 were 52% less likely to experience calcification in their arteries and 57% less likely to die from heart disease over a 7 to 10 year period. However, like most other vitamins and nutrients, no one nutrient operates independently of another. For instance, most pasteurized milk is fortified with vitamin D, but they've realized they've effectively eradicated natural vitamin D. But K2 directs your body to deposit the calcium in the appropriate places and not in the arteries. In other words, it's the vitamin K2 that tells your body to deposit calcium in the bones and teeth and not on your organs, soft tissue, muscle, and again, arteries. So guys, I always take my D3 with K2. Really, really important. You do that. Plus, our D3 K2 is 10,000 IUs of D3. Isn't that correct, Austin?
Yes, the 10,000 K2 is the primary one that we carry.
That's right.
And then yeah, well, I was going to say, we do carry the 5,000 primarily still because I've had some requests from some customers that have to watch out with the, how much vitamin K they take in their diet. And so they're still, we still carry the 5,000 by itself separately for those individuals. But the 10,000 with K2 is definitely the best one to go with for overall usage if you, you know, you're trying to get your D3 up.
Okay. One more article, and I'll let you jump in with some articles. Monsanto's toxic chemicals now being found in 100% of all California wines tested, including organic wines.
Uh-oh.
I mean, crazy. Glyphosate's being found in bagels, bread, wheat, cereals, and they noted it's likely from the result of the common practice of these blithering idiots who are using glyphosate as a desiccant and spraying it on the food we're about to eat shortly before they harvest it. I mean, this is crazy. 10 out of the 24 breakfast cereals tested had detectable levels of glyphosate. This included oatmeal, bagels, coffee creamer, organic bread, and even organic cage-free and antibiotic-free eggs. In addition, the advocacy group Moms Across America sent 10 wine samples to be tested for glyphosate. All of the samples tested positive for glyphosate, even organic wines, although their levels were lower. Roundup isn't even sprayed directly on the grapes, but sprayed around the ground, around the grapes to control weeds. A study of glyphosate residues by the Munich Environmental Institute found that glyphosate was in the 14 best-selling German beers. So guys, yeah, you guys be really careful. Start staying with the organic all of the time. What's your next story, Oz?
Oh, yeah, man. Well, the glyphosate epidemic's becoming horrible. That's what we've talked about it in detail about how toxic this stuff is for you. And like you said before, what happened was years ago, Monsanto came out and said that they recommend using their glyphosate 2 to 3 days before harvesting on oats, beans, lentils, non-GMO soybeans, almost every single crop you can think of, they recommend doing it. That's why it's so important to go with organic. The issue that we're still seeing now with organic is the overspray. When these planes, these machines spray the stuff in the atmosphere, it floats, it travels, it gets carried, it gets in the water system, it gets in the soil. This stuff's unbelievably toxic. Now, the EU, remember I talked about last week, was supposed to be making a decision about basically blocking the use of glyphosate, and they did not do anything in time. So now Monsanto has an 18-month extension on their license for the use of glyphosate in the EU. Glyphosate in French farming and wine agriculture practices was supposed to stop entirely by June 30th, 2016, but after the EU Standing Environment Committee failed to come to an agreement on whether or not to enforce the ban, it extended the deadline an additional 18 months. I told you guys a couple weeks about this ago. And the French minister for, Ségolène Royal, voiced her displeasure about the extension and claimed that France remains determined to ban the use of glyphosate in France by January 1st, 2018. She goes on to state that there's potential danger to human health, but not just that, massive dangers to human honeybee populations with a massive disappearance. In a study published by the Journal of Experimental Biology, research discovered both chronic and acute effects in honeybees exposed to Roundup at real-life levels. So EU, remember, they were supposed to get this stuff knocked out, but again, I'm sure somebody got paid off, again, by Monsanto, as it continues to happen over and over and over again. And the only way, guys, we're going to be able to stop this is making the forcing these companies to try and label it. That's one thing I talked about Campbell yesterday, is they're doing this voluntarily now. Now, you have the choice whether or not you want to support their foods that have GMO products in it, or you don't. But we have to start making a decision, an active decision, because this glyphosate is becoming out of control. Now, I talked a couple days ago about that the Miracle-Gro company is now coming out with a glyphosate, you know, Roundup-ready sod that they're going to bring in a graft. I mean, it's coming from every single angle, and it's causing all these health issues. Also, too, I talked about Candida superbug that's been having a pretty significant outbreak now in Great Britain. A deadly new superbug, again, the Candida one, is shutting down intensive care units. More than a dozen patients at one London hospital and dozens of others are said to be carrying the disease. Nearly 50 patients in the UK have thus been identified as have contracted C. auroris, and many more expected to come in the following weeks. It has a 60% mortality rate. Now, the thing about it is it primarily occurs in individuals that are already sick, but what they're seeing now is more and more people are become susceptible to it. The Royal famous Royal Brompton Hospital in London, it was forced to close its ICU for nearly 2 weeks last month after at least three patients died from multiple organ failures as the believed to be a result of the C. auris infection. What makes it so problematic is the fact it does not respond at all to the three most common forms of fungal treatment on the market, which means there's little that can be done conventionally once the person contracts it. Now, the biggest thing that I've talked to everybody about is making sure you're getting a good probiotic in your diet. That's one of the reasons why on our Healthy Immune Survival Kit, we put in the probiotic blend into that kit specifically for this. So it's a multi-step process with the astragalus, the black seed oil, the vitamin D, the vitamin C, and the probiotic blend. It really hits your immune system from multiple angles to really strengthen it, and then adding in the probiotics to really help with the gut flora, because what's happening is, this is all linked back to glyphosate, the massive use of glyphosate, and also, too, in my opinion, Splenda, otherwise known as sucralose, is having a significant problem on gut flora in the body, and is causing this bacteria and these candida issues to basically explode once they're exposed in the body. So it's very important, guys, you take care of yourself, you keep your immune system strong, keep your gut health strong, and you take a continued probiotic. What do you think about that? I mean, I think that's pretty good advice right now.
Well, no, it's critical advice. I take it on an ongoing basis. And now, here's what happens with this chlorinated hydrocarbon. This is a pesticide, the Splenda product. And when you put this stuff through your body, it's like old chlorine. It's like the old, it's not exactly like it, but it's similar to the old chlordane powder that we used to get, that we used to put on ant beds. It kills pretty much everything. It's also similar to, of course, you know, the chlorine that you pour into your swimming pool for shock. It kills everything. And that's what it goes through the gut. It just starts killing everything. And so when it goes through and wipes out your good bacteria, this yeast is opportunistic. It can get inside of all of your tissue. So yes, don't use Splenda ever. I mean, why do you want to eat a chlorinated hydrocarbon? And if you know, I told you that one time I was on the plane going up to Chicago to do a TV show, and it was crazy. I sat beside a chemist there from the University of Chicago, and he basically told me that he'll eat aspartame because your body can metabolize small amounts of paint thinner or methanol, which I thought was nuts, but he won't even touch sucralose. He won't touch it. He said, I won't touch that. He goes, that's a chlorinated hydrocarbon. That's pesticide. He goes, I won't put that in my body at all. He goes, that's just something I won't even put in my system, period. Won't even do that. Won't go there. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. Here's an interesting article with Penn State. This just got released from Sealed Files now on Joe Paterno. Now, Joe was a interesting old guy from Penn State. You know, he had the number one winning football program for years. He was stripped of that by the NCAA because of what happened with the sex abuse scandal with Sandusky up there. But the unsealed court documents have now revealed that disgusting Penn State pedophilia cover-up surrounding convicted child molester Jerry Sandusky was known to head coach Joe Paterno for decades before it was found out by the public, and Joe did nothing about it. That's sad. Paterno told by a teenage boy in 1976 that the assistant coach molested him in the shower, responded that he didn't want to hear about it, and that he had a football season to worry about, according to court documents unsealed on Tuesday. The boy, now is a man who's identified as John Doe, said in 2014 that other boys in a shower heard him yell that Sandusky had touched him sexually. He also said that he told several adults about it before seeking out Paterno. You know, it's sad to me because, you know, Joe Paterno was a likable, nice guy. I mean, he died just, you know, a couple months after Sandusky's arrest, you know, from cancer. And it's sad to me that Joe supposedly knew about this. Of course, you can't really, you know for sure. Of course, Joe was pretty much, you know, out of it by the time he died and really couldn't have testified. But guys, listen to me. This pedophilia stuff that's going on nationwide, this is some pretty sick stuff. And that's why we try to always tell you guys that a lot of these people involved in this new world order, they're pedophiles. And it's just it's a major, major problem for a lot of people, even in the Catholic Church with the priests. And I had a guy, I told you guys this a long, long time ago. I had this guy, his name was Fred Sickle. He lived in one of our cottages when we had the fish camp back when I was a kid. And I remember he was an older guy, he was in his 60s, and I was like 14 years old. And he seemed like he was ancient to me back then. Of course, I'm 60 now, so I guess I seem ancient to 14-year-olds. And it was interesting because he took me to the movies one day, and I remember he put his hand on my kneecap, kind of left his hand there. I told him to get his hand off me. I about to hit him upside the head. And because I knew better at the age of 14 to be involved with whack bags like this. And so I was actually touched by a pedophile on the leg when I was 13, 14 years old. Now, the crazy part about this, I'm pretty sure it was 14 because it was like in 9th or 10th grade. And the craziest thing about this is, you know, that NAMBA organization, Men with Boys, their little motto that they go by nationwide is sex before 8 or it's too late. And that's talking about pedophilia with young boys because before that age, if they're 5 or 6 years old, they really don't know what you're doing to them, apparently, according to these perverts. So the sad part about this is a major, major, major problem that's going on. And a lot of young men have been introduced into homosexuality by these old guys through pedophilia and because they've been raped as children. Now, guys, to me, these guys need to be taken out back and lined up against the wall if they're guilty of this and they're found guilty and shot or hung or electrocuted or whatever. This to me is death penalty stuff. But apparently, it's not with these other guys because, I mean, apparently a lot of these head coaches knew about this at Penn State and did absolutely nothing about it. And quite frankly, I'm sure that Sandusky's having to be kept in artificial or you know, you confinement. He has to be away from most of the general prison population, or I don't think he'd even be alive anymore. If he even still is alive, I don't know or not. But, I mean, what do you think about this, Austin, this crazy nonsense?
Well, it is. I mean, it's pretty sick. I mean, it's been going on for a while, and a lot of people cover it up. One other thing that's pretty wild today that I've saw, I think you sent me the email as well, is that this basically government-controlled anonymous thing, now they're stating that tomorrow is the scheduled National Day of Rage, and basically they're having all these protests all around the country. I thought this was interesting. Friday the 15th is what they're stating here. Now, the issue that comes along with all this stuff, and I've brought it up beginning of the week. A, they're saying that these need to be peaceful protests, yet they're coining it as the National Day of Rage. Just to be clear about this, guys, the Webster Dictionary defines rage as expressing violent, uncontrollable anger. That doesn't sound like a peaceful protest to me. That sounds like they're intentionally trying to incite violence at these places that they're going. You guys have to listen to me on this. I brought it up at the beginning of the week. You have to shut the TVs off with this propaganda. They're intentionally trying to pit everybody against everybody with what's going on right now. You're either pro-police, you're anti-police. You're either pro-white, you're pro-black, or pro-Mexican. They're putting this into all these different subgroups right now, and they're intentionally trying to pit us against each other and divide our country and bring us to our knees. Listen, we're all Americans. We're all patriots. We have to stand together and understand what's going on. We're being played. We're being played as fools right now, and a large percentage of the population is falling for this psychop. It's a psychological operation. It's psychological warfare. They're doing it extremely well and extremely efficiently. I told you at the beginning of the week, I watched a couple of those news shows on just some email stuff that I got, and I could tell myself the way they were presenting it to me, I started getting irritated. Then I realized, wait a minute here, guys. This is exactly what they're doing. They're intentionally inciting violence in everybody. They're finding where everybody's weak spot is, everybody's anger spot is, and they're intentionally doing it. CNN's got something different. Fox has got something different. All these other ones have these different things they're pitting on everybody. They're trying to bring everybody to a point where everybody wants to fight everybody. I mean, can you guys remember the last time we had people beating each other, throwing bottles at each other, fighting each other because somebody said, I'm voting for this presidential candidate, right, and 20, 30 individuals jumped him and started beating on him? That's not normal behavior in a civilized society. Going out and locking arms in front of a major intersection to protest a shooting that happened on the other side of the country and impeding people's traffic to and from work that are trying to work and pay taxes and earn a meaningful wage is not normal behavior in a civilized society. This is all idiotic behavior, and all these people are doing are being good, perfect little minions for the media and the globalists. They're doing exactly what they want them to do. You guys have to understand, if this starts to escalate because all these idiots continue to follow the boob tube and the tweet and the online social media and all this stuff, it's going to escalate, and we're going to get involved in it whether or not we want to get involved in it. We have to try and stop this now. If you have friends, if you have family, if you have friends that have kids, if they're trying to get involved with some of these groups, they're soliciting them to engage in this violent, violent rhetoric. This is not something they need to do. You need to do the best you can to prevent this from happening. See, what's going to happen is if this escalates, they're not just going to have a protest downtown Dallas at the police station. They're not just going to have it at your downtown courthouse. They're going to start marching through the street. They're going to start coming to your neighborhood, 150 people deep, blocking the road so you can't get out of your driveway. As soon as you engage them, they're immediately going to start throwing rocks and fireworks at you and trying to basically intimidate you into not doing anything. And the problem is, a lot of people, for rightful reasons, are going to engage back with deadly force because they're going to be defending their lives and they're going to be defending their property. They are unintentionally going to get involved in this, whether they want to or not. We have to try and stop this before it escalates to that, because that is the globalist goal. If they can make us fall from the inside out, if they can bring us to our knees simply from our own anger and rage, then they can come in, sweep up the mess, bring in a new world order, and everybody's going to follow exactly what they want to do. This is from last month from the United Nations. The United States has announced its support for a set of principles that give a green light to UN peacekeeper troops to police and use force to protect civilians and armed conflict. U.S. Ambassador Samantha Power held a high-level UN meeting Wednesday focused on the responsibility to protect civilians that the United States was proud and humbled to join 28 other countries that have pledged to abide by the 18 pledges. UN peacekeepers from these 29 countries are now required to act in cases where civilians are in danger in armed conflict. It's escalating, guys. They're setting the stage for this. They're intentionally trying to escalate the situation, and the media is almost 90% responsible for what's going on right now. So use your brain, use your judgment, use your cognitive reasoning skills that God gave you, and realize it's a psychop. Do not fall into it. Do not let your family or your friends fall into it. Stay out of it. Do the best you can to try and prevent anybody you know of from engaging in this type of behavior. But I wanted to say that again, because a lot of stuff is escalating really fast right now, and too many people are getting brainwashed into thinking they need to go get in this ridiculous fight, these ridiculous protests, for absolutely no legitimate purpose at all.
Well, also remember, Austin, that big fight that happened in the mall up in Kentucky. I believe it was 6 or 8 months ago, when just spontaneously a group of 1,500 blacks just started fighting and beating each other up, just spontaneously. Giant riot, 1,500 people.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of what's happening now, guys, and I've covered it so many times on the show, deals with frequency modulation. And what they do, they use the Gwen towers, the sea-based radar domes, the cell towers, the Doppler radar, any of this stuff, to put specific frequencies in the air. They know exactly what frequency causes you to get incredibly angry, incredibly docile, incredibly hungry, incredibly tired, incredibly depressed. They know what to do. They have what brain frequency they have to broadcast into you, and they do it. They're capable of it. They did it in the war. I talked about this multiple times on Hagman's show. They tested it in the 2001 invasion over there into the Middle East, the Gulf War. They did this when they overthrew the Iraqis. And they were broadcasting this frequency in, and they were basically, these guys were so depressed, they were just coming out and just, you know, surrendering to drones because of what was being put into their heads. So if you suddenly start feeling that you want to go start beating people up and you get uncontrollably angry, you better ask yourself a question. How close are you to a cell tower? How close are you to a radar dome? How close are you to a Doppler installation? How close are you to a Gwen tower? I mean, how close are you? I mean, we have a wind tower probably 15, 20 miles away from here, and we have all these silly cell towers everywhere. I mean, they can start broadcasting any frequency they want to make you do anything, especially in these big cities. And if they do that, they can turn people into complete and total just raving lunatics within a matter of minutes by hitting them with the right energy field. And the sad part about this is, unless you're aware of this, you may fall into that same trap. I personally believe that if you know what they're doing, you start thinking, okay, why is this happening to me? Why am I feeling this incredible anger right now? You've got to take authority over it in the name of Jesus. Say, I bind this in the name of Jesus. You're not going to do this to me. You know, I'm not going to allow you to put me in this state of mind. The answer is no. Get behind me, Satan. Okay? That's how I would do it. You think, well, that sounds kind of crazy, Ted. Well, the whole thing is crazy. I mean, the whole thing is nuts. The fact that we even talk about this weirdo stuff like this that's true and it's just science and physics blows your mind to start with. You know, that's why it's so important that you've got to stay in prayer. You've got to put those scalar waves out every day. This morning I was talking to a car guy who was delivering some paperwork to me, and I was talking to him. I said, if you understood what prayer was, what prayer did, you'd be praying all the time. He kind of looked at me kind of funny, and I said, well, I said, obviously that was over your head. You're probably not even saved. And he looked at me kind of funny again. And I'm like, well, never mind. We'll talk about this later. And the thing about it is that, you know, you guys are like part of our family. If you're listening to this show every day, this is like having a fireside chat here at the Brewers, okay? You're part of the family. You got my son and I going here talking about all these stories. I'm going to tell you the truth. Something happened up in Kentucky. I personally believe that was a giant beta test. And I believe they're testing this stuff all over the place, especially these convention sites. And they're getting these people to go in these just incredible fits of rage. And guys, just pray for the doggone conventions we're about to have, and just pray this thing tomorrow doesn't go and spiral out of control, and pray that the UN peacekeepers aren't released on U.S. soil with their fully automatic weapons. Because remember, these guys aren't police officers. You think police officers are bad? These are soldiers. They're in combat. They're here for one reason, to kill people and break things. That's what they do. They kill people and they break things. That's what they're designed to do. Okay? They're not police. So we don't want UN soldiers on the ground in the United States going door to door in our country. Here's another article. Artificial sweeteners, and I've talked about this before, can actually increase your appetite by up to 30%. Here's how it happens. With zero calorie content, artificial sweeteners are often recommended as part of a healthy diet for weight loss, which is an absolutely ridiculous thing to do. A team of researchers now from the University of Sydney has found that you can have up to a 30% increase in appetite and hunger when you consume artificial sweeteners. Billions of people worldwide regularly consume sucralose. There we go, that organic, that the pesticide again. A sugar substitute with no nutrients or calories is commonly found in the majority of artificial sweeteners sold commercially. Other well-known sweeteners include, of course, aspartame, okay, and saccharin. Scientists exposed fruit flies to diets with high levels of artificial sweeteners for prolonged periods of time, more than 5 days, and they found that chronic consumption of artificial sweeteners promoted hyperactivity, insomnia, glucose intolerance, and more intense perception of sweetness and an increase in appetite and calories consumed. We found that inside the brain's reward centers in humans, sweet sensation is integrated with energy content, which means if you eat something sweet, you think it's going to give you more energy. When sweetness versus energy is out of balance for a period of time, the brain recalibrates and increases total calories consumed, said lead research professor. The sweeteners essentially cause the brain to send a message that not enough energy has been consumed, trigger a kind of starvation response that makes food taste even better. When regular sugar is eaten, dopamine is released in the brain, and blood sugar levels rise, causing a secondary stimulation to produce additional dopamine. When eating artificial sweeteners, dopamine produces the initial sensation of pleasure, but the second effect doesn't occur because the sugar-free sweeteners have no impact on blood sugar levels. As a result, the body sends signals requesting more food to compensate. Same effect was also observed in mice. In a previous study in 2014 in the American Journal of Public Health found that people who were overweight or obese ate more when they drank artificially sweetened diet drinks. This kind of drink has been linked to increased energy intake ranging from 88 calories up to 194 calories for obese participants. I mean, this is published in the journal Cell Metabolism. And now the other thing that it also does is aspartame, because it contains aspartic acid, phenylalanine, and paint thinner, methanol, you have aspartic receptor sites in the brain which release dopamine. So when you start drinking aspartame, you get super, super addicted to it. A lot of people get so addicted to it, Austin, they'll fight you to get their Diet Coke. I mean, I've seen some crazy, I mean, I have heard pastors slam people from the pulpit who said they shouldn't be drinking Diet Coke because the pastor was so addicted to the Diet Coke. You've heard it too. Over and over and over and over, I've seen it. Sadly, guys, any kind of artificial sweetener needs to be completely avoided. You know, now they have monk fruit, which is a good, pretty good concentrated sweetener, and also stevia, which is a good concentrated sweetener. But guys, stay away from this artificial stuff. It's just not healthy for you, and it causes all types of problems with blood sugar metabolism and also addiction. What's your next story, Oz?
Well, yeah, and to add on that too, you see how addictive it is when Pepsi pulled aspartame completely out of all of their drinks. And basically had such a consumer backlash from a lot of their users that were using their products with aspartame in them that they demanded Pepsi bring it back in. So a year later, Pepsi basically has capitulated now and they're bringing aspartame back on the market. And I mean, it's definitely significant. You can see the addictive properties of aspartame, especially when used an extended period of time. And I mean, I've talked to multiple customers on the phone before, you know, that are fairly new, trying to figure out what to do. And I talk to them, you know, about diet sweeteners or diet sodas and stuff like that. And they just go, man, you know, I'm trying to drink. And almost everybody that drinks them, they're always trying to drink them to lose weight. But as you were just saying, it does a complete opposite effect because they always go, well, I'm trying to drink this. I'm sticking with diet, you know, Diet Coke or Diet Pepsi. But it always seems like I'm still hungry. I need to eat more. You know, I'm always trying to cut back on my food, but I'm never satisfied with it. I always have to try and cut more and more food out, and it doesn't work. And I said, well, yeah, this stuff's completely messing with your brain chemistry. This is not healthy stuff you need to be putting in your body, really under any circumstances. I can't think of any useful purpose to be using any type of artificial sweetener like that, especially like Dad said, when you have stuff like stevia and monk fruit are fit food protein now. We've reformulated to get all of the organic evaporated cane juice out of it, and we dropped the stevia because it wasn't needed with the monk fruit. So we've actually decreased the amount of sugar in the fit food to almost none, essentially. So it's going to be pretty good. We're going to be coming out with that here shortly, but that's been because a lot of people, you know, are really trying to watch caloric intake and glycemic index and how much sugar they're intaking. But you want to get a good natural base taste of something, and stevia and monk fruit are both naturally occurring sweeteners in the wild. They're very, very easy to use. They taste very good, and they don't have any side effects like this aspartame and sucralose and just disgusting stuff has. But another article now, switch gears here on vaccines. The vaccine industry now has been working diligently with the FDA to create new rules now to test and develop vaccines designed to be given to pregnant women because the children don't get enough vaccines yet. They only get 74 vaccines before the age of 18. We need to make sure they get their vaccines when they're getting made in utero because they just don't get enough vaccines anymore. And what's crazy about this is the industry, this is nothing to do with safety. This is nothing to do with preventing any type of illness. This is all about another opportunity to pump more vaccines, to increase profits, and pump this garbage into people that absolutely have no need to have it in their body. If we needed vaccines injected into pregnant women, don't you think God would have kind of put that aside and say, hey, listen, as soon as this lady gets pregnant, as soon as your wife gets pregnant, here's a box of vaccines. You immediately have to start shooting her immediately. She can't function without these vaccines that are synthetically made. I wouldn't possibly design her to be able to build a child in her body for 9 months and do it completely naturally. I wouldn't have done that. That would have been too simple. I need to make sure you add all these extra vaccines in because her body can't handle it herself. No, guys, that's not what happened. It was crazy. When I saw when Lana was pregnant, I watched how she grew and this baby was made, and I did all this research with her, and I learned so much more about, you know, how everything is done and the natural approach to everything. And I came to the conclusion that these women, when they're having babies, it's really spectacular what their bodies are doing, what they're creating, what they're knitting together. It's amazing how God built them. It really is. It's absolutely amazing. And they're completely self-sufficient as long as they're taking in proper nutrients like our ultimate prenatals, adding in good additional omega-3s at the end of the third trimester, nutrients that we normally had out of the ground years and years ago before everything's been so depleted, adding in these proper supplements that really help feed the child, they come out really healthy. And then when they come out really healthy, then the woman already starts producing breast milk ready to feed them, and then the child doesn't even need any type of vaccine, period, at all, not even legitimately needing them for any reason whatsoever. Why he's breastfeeding? Because the woman produces any and all antibodies that he needs to protect him against any type of issue at all. That's how cool it is on what actually happens with this. So this whole, let's start vaccinating pregnant women to see what happens to them, is complete and total crock of poo. That's what it is. It's ways more money. I mean, are we not seeing enough issues with all these different vaccines, with the HPV vaccine, with the flu vaccine? Do we not see enough people die every year from this stuff? Now we want to start testing this on pregnant women? It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. But I wanted to give you guys a heads up on that, because what they're going to start doing is they're going to start looking for test subjects. This stuff gets approved, they're going to start soliciting pregnant women to try this stuff out. And don't do it. If you get asked, if this comes about for your family or anything, do every you can to not allow this stuff to happen, because there's no way these guys are going to have any idea what can happen to these kids when you start pumping these vaccines into them when they're actually being built in the womb like this.
100% right. No, you're 100% right, Austin. The fact that, you know, we've got all of these people pumping all these kids full of vaccines, and this autism's going through the roof. And I'm here, I'm going to tell you this again. I'm telling you this. I've looked at the research, I've analyzed it, and there's a direct correlation between the vaccines, the thimerosal, the aluminum, the chemicals put into the vaccines, the adjuvants, this whole problem with autism, and these children with reduced mental capacity and IQ scores. I mean, it's all there. There's not even a debate with this anymore. It's ridiculous that this stuff is debated. I mean, to me, if a person looks at 300 or 400 articles and it tells you the same thing, not all these people are lying, okay? I mean, that's what happened to me also when I first started looking at the 9/11 information when I was still asleep. You know, I was watching the PBS. This is, you know, way back when, 14 years ago. And I remember I started looking at the 9/11 stuff, and I remember I watched that video that had been done called Loose Change, and I watched the other one called 9/11 Mysteries, and I started looking at it and reading this stuff and listening to it. I thought, wait a minute, these are eyewitnesses telling us that this thing was an inside job on 9/11, that they heard multiple explosions. They have all of these police officers on these videos, all of these fire guys on these videos, all of these guys talking. And finally I thought, not all these people are lying. They can't be all lying. Okay, somebody's telling the truth here, and they're all saying the same thing. Well, when Thompson came out a couple years ago now and said, hey, look, we falsified the documentation on the MMR vaccine, and this thing causes autism. I'm telling you, he says, it causes autism. This is what it does. I mean, you think he's lying? He's risking his reputation, his very life by doing this. You know, Brad Street and Gonzalez are both dead now. You know, over 50 holistic doctors dead now. I mean, gosh. Guys, I'm really happy I'm not in practice anymore. I mean, it's dangerous. People don't realize how dangerous it is if you get out there on national radio and you're in practice and you're actually seeing patients and you're helping people. I mean, these guys had a 15% cure rate with children that had autism. 15%. And 85% of the children had improvement. Only 15% of the people, kids didn't improve. I mean, so you had an 85% success rate with a 15% overall cure rate on kids that have been diagnosed with an incurable disease of autism. And yet these guys all end up dead. They departed the planet. They left, you know, and now they're finding out they didn't kill themselves. They were all murdered. Now, that's sick, but that's what they do. Because remember, when you go after the petrochemical industry, the pharmaceutical corporations, and I did this all yesterday with the Diebold voting machines, and I read you that. You got to listen to yesterday's show. It all goes back to the Rothschild banking cartel. This country has been hijacked by these banks, by these Rothschild, by these Sabbatean, Kabbalist, Luciferian freak jobs that basically like to do weird things and drink blood and whatever else they do. These are the guys running the show, and they answer to Lucifer. You think, well, that sounds crazy, Ted. I know it sounds crazy. You think, I think it sounds right. It sounds crazy to me, too. The problem is, the more you read about it, the more you realize this is what's going on. And then the first time I read that, I started putting all those pieces together. I said, I can never say that on radio. That sounds like everybody's nuts involved in this. Well, they all are nuts. They're all a bunch of Sabbatean blood drinkers. You know, these people are nuts. They go to Bohemian Grove. Bohemian Grove. They worship Moloch, the 40-foot owl out there. They sacrifice a human being in effigy. Whackbag Hillary the witch says that she wants to go sacrifice a doggone chicken to Moloch in her emails. I mean, who talks like that? My craziest thing is this, Austin. So she was so good at deleting 30,000 emails. What in the world did she leave a stupid email in there that she's going to sacrifice a chicken to Moloch in there and not delete that? Are you kidding me? Or what is that, some kind of sign that she was given to the other Luciferians, that she was basically with them and that she wanted to leave that in there? Are you joking me? I mean, unbelievable. I mean, it's just the whole thing's crazy. Trump, by the way, is really slamming old Ginsburg. That stinking old weirdo that was supposed to be a doggone conservative. I have no idea why they thought she was supposed to be a conservative, because she's not been. Basically is saying that people should not vote for Trump. She's slamming Trump, and she's a Supreme Court justice. And earlier this week, Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg violated the code of conduct for federal judges when she trashed Donald Trump. The code states that federal judges should not publicly endorse or oppose a candidate for public office. Mm. Although Supreme Court justices are not bound by the code, remember, because they can't be taken out of office, Chief Justice John G. Roberts has said the court adheres to it. Donald Trump responded to Ginsburg's unethical comments by sending out one of his most scathing tweets. He questioned her mental fitness and demanded she resign. I don't think that justices should be speaking out about presidential politics. Gabe Roth, executive director of Fix the Court, a nonpartisan organization advocating for accountability from the justices, told the Boston Herald, it's part of the job of being a Supreme Court judge to set and to hold a high ethical standard. Hello, Ginsburg, gosh, nutbag again. I guess she'll be another one of these guys, girls judges that'll probably step off the court because her health is so bad, and then whoever the next president's going to be. See, that's what this whole thing's about, guys. That's what all of this is about. These guys who've taken over our country, we talked about them yesterday, they know if they can stack the Supreme Court, stack it, liberally, there's no way on God's green earth that we'll ever get our freedoms back. And we'll continue to lose more and more and more. That's why they're just having a conniption fit because of Donald Trump, because he's already said the justice that he wants to put on. And guys, you know, it's not set up yet to hack the entire country as far as on the voting machines. We talked about that yesterday. Pretty much the swing states, it's set up really big time in Ohio and in Florida. Okay, so we've got to, if we get an overwhelming landslide victory, I believe we can put Trump in office. And again, at least Trump is talking the talk, you know, walking the walk. I mean, that's what he's doing. At least he's trying. Clinton is telling us all basically to go to hell, because she's going to be joining everybody wants to go to hell with her there, because she's a witch. She doesn't realize that she needs to read the book of Isaiah. So, guys, there's not much of a choice in this election as far as I'm concerned, and I've been very candid about that already. What's your next story, Oz?
No, you're absolutely right. Now, this is an article I just saw earlier, going back to what I was saying earlier, just with the link of what the United Nations is involved in. The United Nations now is inviting the Black Lives Matter activists and co-founders to participate in a high-level debate in New York on human rights. What's interesting about this, the UN General Assembly president is saying human rights at the center of the global agenda involves keynote speeches. And they're bringing in these co-founders, three of them from Black Lives Matter, to bring in basically the debate. And what I find about this is every time you turn around with something, remember what I always say with the whole, you know, the New World Order, the globalist approach, that's what it states right here. The event that they're going to is entitled Human Rights at the Center of the Global Agenda. That's the name of it. That's the name of what they're going to. It doesn't get any clearer than that. They aren't even hiding it. They're putting it in plain sight and seeing if anybody will even pick up on it. We know that these founders and a lot of the people involved with the Black Lives Matter now are flat-out domestic terrorists. That's what they're involved in. They're paid to be involved in this type of stuff and incite violence and rage. Now we're bringing them to the United Nations to basically debate at the human rights for the center of global agenda. Are you kidding me? I mean, it's almost a joke to see what they're doing right in front of us, and then they tell us if we say anything about it, we're not tolerant, or we're racist, or we're bigots, or we're white supremacists, yeah, or we have, what was one yesterday? Well, white privilege. That's what it was now.
The 14-year little brat needs to be taken out back and spanked by his daddy. God, it's awful.
I mean,
it's awful.
It is. I watched part of that video yesterday. I couldn't go through it.
Yeah, if you missed yesterday's show, you need to listen to Les yesterday's show. It was a good show. Oh, here's my favorite one today. Man in a Black Lives Matter t-shirt fires 17 shots into a police officer's home. A black male opened fire on a police officer's home in Indiana Tuesday, just days after being released from prison. According to reports, the individual, 27-year-old March Eugene Ratney, began firing on Indianapolis Metro Police Department home's officer just at 2 a.m. while screaming profanities. This violent felon, who had been just released from serving half of a 12-year sentence, was wearing a shirt with the words "Black Lives Matter" and "F the Police." During the incident, although Ramsey fired 17 shots, hitting the officer's home, patrol vehicles and fenced neither the officer and his family were harmed. Ratney, who was captured by a surveillance camera fleeing the area, was arrested by local police during a traffic stop less than an hour later. As reported by Fox 59, local Black Lives Matter members were quick to disassociate themselves. No, you can't. He's your boy. You guys need to go love him and hug him and kiss him because he's your boy and he's who's representing you guys. Then they go, he's not part of this movement. Oh, yeah, he is. And you can tell he's not part of the movement. Oh, yes, he is. And Mohammed Sigwe of the Concerned Clergy, the movement is a movement trying to do positive things. It is not. And peacefully resolve issues. Okay. I want to see what happens at the conventions with these clowns, how peaceful they're going to be. They haven't peaceful anywhere else they're going to go. I mean, what do you think, Oz?
No, that's exactly the issue that we're seeing with all this, is everywhere they go, all they end up doing is inciting violence. I mean, that's what they're promoting now, is this whole thing for tomorrow, the National Day of Rage. What in the world sounds peaceful about the National Day of Rage to anybody? That doesn't even sound remotely peaceful whatsoever. I don't even know what that's even supposed to be. I didn't know you could, like, legally describe a day like that. That sounds something you get arrested for inciting something like that. So I don't know, man. It's interesting. That's why I said earlier, guys, this is something that we all have to come to grips with, that this is a specific psychological agenda that's being pushed on the American public, and we're all being cooked. I mean, that's what's going on. We're all being played as a fool if you fall into this. So, I mean, I'm glad our listeners, most of our listeners, are really, really sharp with what's going on, and I'm sure most of them know that this is all just a giant game they're playing with us. But obviously, a lot of these people across the country really think this is something they need to go engage in. So, I mean, if shooting into people's homes in the middle of the night, I don't know what part of that's peaceful at all.
Here's all I can say. Several scriptures come to mind. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Okay.
Yeah.
And as far as all the stuff we're talking about, first nutrition, the Bible says that, don't you know, ye yourselves are God's temple, and the God's Spirit lives within you. And if you destroy God's temple, He will destroy you. Guys, come on, man. I mean, think about all of this stuff. And then also, you know, if you start reading all of the subversive literature, you know, from the Black Lives Matter people, and you start getting yourself all worked up into a rage because of white privilege, because you weren't born white. Well, I got a news flash for you. The way it's going right now, there aren't going to be white people in 1,000 years or 500 years anyhow. They'll all be gone. Probably the way they're going, probably in 100 years. I mean, so the truth of the matter is, it's just, you know, the white people aren't bad people. There's good whites. There's bad whites. There's good blacks. There's bad blacks. There's good and bad of everybody. The problem is, you know, nobody wants to point out the good ones. They always want to talk about the bad ones. And so it's not my responsibility what the bad people do. It's only my responsibility what I do. That's why, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, period. And we're not going to be involved with all of this nonsense. So, guys, keep praying every single day. It's really important. FBI agents, by the way, have been silenced on Hillary's probe. FBI agents who worked on the investigation of the witch who used the private email server as a Dropbox had to sign an unusual nondisclosure form banning them from talking about the case unless they were called to testify before the court. Unnamed sources tell the New York Post they've never heard of the special form known as a case briefing acknowledgement being used. Through all the agents initially have to sign nondisclosure agreements This is a very, very unusual form. I've never seen one, never signed one, never circulated one. One unnamed retired FBI chief tells the Post. The Post additionally reports that some FBI agents are disappointed that Director James Comey decided against recommending the charges be brought against Clinton for her mishandling of the classified information. FBI agents believe there was an inside deal put in place after the Attorney General met with Bill Clinton on the tarmac. I know there was. We all know that. Just hours before the release of a White House report on Benghazi. Unbelievable. Guys, if that thing that happened with Bill Clinton doesn't tell you that we have a hijacked government and he can meet with an Attorney General and less than a week later his wife is just basically cleared of everything, if that doesn't put you into a rage, then I don't know what will. You know, this is stupid. This whole thing is stupid. And as long as they control the military, because remember, that's what Obama did. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. That was too bad. That was too harsh. That's what the Gay Kenyan did a couple of years ago, remember? He threw out all of the top military brass, hundreds of them were thrown out. Because he basically decided that he had to maintain the military because the military is about to do a coup after Benghazi. They had enough. They had had enough of him, the Sabbateans, the Rothschilds, all the whack bags that are running this country, and they were about to do a coup and clean the mess out. And Dave Hodges covered all of this on the show. We were about to have a coup in the United States, and the whole government was about to get thrown out by the U.S. military. And that's why Kenyan boy decided to go in there and do something about it and start getting these guys out. Now, he didn't know who to get out. He has no idea to get out. He was told by his handlers who to get out. That's what happened there. And that's what happened. We had hundreds and hundreds of top military personnel just terminated. Couldn't have them in a position of power. It's like that movie Gladiator. You know, when Russell Crowe is coming out of the arena and one of his former, you know, aides says to him, "Your army is waiting for you, General. They're parked in Austria. They're getting fat and ready to go back to war with you, you know, blah, blah, blah." Okay. They wanted him to go back and take over. They couldn't let the military do that and march into Washington, D.C. and take over everything. They couldn't do that. So they had to get the guys out because the military knew the CIA had taken over, that Obama is basically being controlled by the globalists and the Exchange Stability Fund and the international banking community and Soros and the Bilderbergers and all the other guys are linked together in this ridiculous cobweb, and they wanted to fix it. And they weren't because of what happened in Benghazi. There was so much anger in the military. And Dave Hodges talked about it in detail on this show. So guys, I kind of wish that would happen personally. I kind of wish we'd have had the government restored back to constitutional parameters and got all these CIA-controlled Congress guys out, put term limits on all the congressmen, and been done with it. If every congressman had two or three terms, they could take maybe 6 years in there, that was it. And senators, I had one term, that was it. Guys, there wouldn't be any of this nonsense going on right now. We'd have clean elections, clean people going in all the time, and there's no way they could control this thing through the good old boy politics. They couldn't do it. What's your next story, Oz?
No, and you're absolutely right, too, and that was one of the things that was so clear about when all those top brass military guys got released and basically got let go. It was stupid stuff. It was complete. Remember, the one top general, he got discharged for possessing counterfeit poker chips.
Right.
Really? Really, guys? Really? That was what you were going to go with on that? You really expected everybody to believe that's why you let this, like, 30-year-plus general go? Was because of fake poker chips? I mean, give me a break. And, I mean, all the charges were like that. Bogus stuff that they were putting on these guys for absolutely no reason. And that's why I was talking about before last week, that movie 13 Hours, you see exactly what happened. They had that one standing high-fly base over there 20 minutes away from Benghazi, 20-minute flight away, with F-16s sitting on the tarmac, ready to go. Would not give them orders to fly. And they didn't even ask for an intrusion. They didn't even ask for any type of artillery or bombs or missiles or anything. All they simply asked for was a low flyby from the F-16s, and they would not give it to him. And remember, it's crazy too. At the end of that movie, if you listen to him, he goes, what's crazy is, those mortars that came in on the compound, they gave a mortar at the very end of the movie. He goes, they didn't set up. those a couple days ago or even a week ago. He said those were pre-positioned. He goes, they had them exactly dialed in on our CIA covert black op base that nobody knew existed. He goes, how did they get the coordinates for those? And he said, well, I don't know, man. All I know is I'm happy we're going home alive. And that was like the end of the movie. And that's exactly what happened. They knew all, you're telling me all these jihad militant fighting radicals over there running around with AKs happened to get the exact specific coordinates of this black site that the CIA was operating out of? No. That was an inside job. All those boys were supposed to die over there, including all those CIA members that were involved in everything that was going on in Benghazi. Everybody was supposed to check out, and they didn't. They made it through. And that's why everybody resigned immediately after coming home as well.
Well, we don't know if everybody resigned, but a whole bunch of them did, according to the movie. And the crazy thing about this is, guys, if you're with the CIA and you're listening to the show, or with the FBI, or with the government, or whatever, guys, do you really think if you're turning on the American population and these guys are making you do it, they're going to keep you alive when this thing goes down? That's one of the first things Hitler's did, when Stalin did, is they take the people that helped him do the coup and they get rid of them because they don't want them doing another coup. Okay, that's just how it works.
Yep.
And then, I mean, you got to side with the people here in the United States. And all, you know, the UN folks, they got to realize they decided they couldn't get the one world government in here quickly enough because all these different people now on the internet talking about what's going on. So they're not going to try to do it with a gradual, subtle approach. They're just trying to force feed it on us now with a war or with a takeover or with an EMP or something awesome, because all that weird stuff is on its way and it's going to be sad when it hits. It really, really is.
Oh, I know, and that's why I've been telling everybody repeatedly, try to use as much, you know, just mental capacity as you can and stay out of all this stuff with these stupid rallies and riots, guys. There's no reason to go get involved in that type of stuff. There's no reason to get in that type of behavior. But the one thing that everybody needs to know is that, you know, being right with God, praying, making sure you're saved, having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that's the most important aspect of all of this. As Dad and I have talked about it numerous times, because that at the very end gives you the peace of mind to know no matter what happens, we know what's coming on the other side for us. And it's extremely positive, way more than anything that's ever happened here.
That's right. So guys, thank you for supporting healthmasters.com. Thank you for listening to the show. We love you guys. Again, tomorrow night I'll be on with Hagman for the full 3 hours. We appreciate you. Austin, go ahead and close.
Yeah, we thank you guys for everything. Got a lot of emails that I'm responding to about some of the call-ins. So we'll go ahead and start working on that, you know, seeing if we want to go through with it. If you got any questions, call us, email us, healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.